disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
No, I suppose we have to go with that intro, that Pass the Salt intro, because it's kind of a theme song. I'm sorry, I'm wrapped up here a bit. But man, when, as soon as that song comes on, I want it to stop because, like, man, I want to get rolling here. I don't want to waste a minute of that 30 seconds of, hey, pass the salt. But I guess it's the way that we're supposed to fly with it, so we'll go ahead and fly with it. But man, I'm scrambling this morning. I got to tell you, I got a download from the Holy Spirit late today, about six. What time is it right now? About 6:38 or so. I started getting a download from the Holy Spirit about where I was supposed to go this morning. So I was scrambling to get down into this multi-million-dollar studio that we have here. I chuckle on that because those who were in town this weekend got to see the studio. And if one thing they learned is it doesn't take much to touch the world. You can touch the world from this studio that I'm sitting in right now with this great big stadium behind us. And I'm just going to keep that as a secret from the rest of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, it looks like we got us a full house in here today. A lot of things I want to talk about. A lot of things I learned. We're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge, the total knowledge of the truth. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. There's a lot of things going on around us. And I want to recap, although I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, I want to recap the event we had this weekend. And just a lot of things. The program this weekend is really what kind of set me up this morning. I still want to talk about the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm still going to do that. I swear I'm going to get to that this week. But some other stuff has just jumped up ahead of the line here today. As a result of some things I learned this weekend at our event with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar. It was great. We had about, I never really got a firm count because people came, some came on Friday and didn't come back, and some showed up on Saturday, and about 220 maybe. We might have settled about 220. Packed them into Pastor Tom's G1. We thank Pastor Tom for letting us use that facility. It was great. We had to use Jimmy John's, or porta potties, whatever they are you call them. No, we ate Jimmy John's. That's right. Those great subs, the Jimmy John's subs. We ate those at lunch, and we had Jiffy John's, the porta potties. Listen, we're not all flash here. I don't know if you've picked up that yet. I'm not about all flash. You know, my wife sometimes gets on me and says, honey, you need to, you know, not my wife so much. She loves me no matter what. Others say, you need to present a little bit more of a more professional image. And I said, well, listen, dude, what you see is what you get. I ain't a professional, okay? I'm just a guy out here that's gone to the school of the wilderness, doing everything that I can to try to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a way that he's equipped me to do it. I suppose I ought to have a tie on and look real professional, and I look like I'm Sean Hannity, but I ain't Sean Hannity, okay? I'm not. And so you come to a conference that we put on, sometimes you might get hot. We didn't have any air conditioning in the building. Yeah, it got a little stuffy. Yeah, you had to go out and sit and pee in a porta potty. Well, that's the way I roll, right? Because part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to toughen some of you dudes up out there. Some of you women, toughen you up. You don't have to go to the powder room. Listen, you don't go to the powder room to powder anyway, right? You go to the powder room to do your business. Okay, you can do it in a Jiffy John, porta potty. We fly low to the ground. I could have charged $99, $159 to get you come here, because I'm going to tell you, Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli are the Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle of what's going on. They are it, man. They are the top line. And we were able to bring both of those guys in. They were. I want to say that these guys are just people. don't know if I've met a more loving guy than Russ is, really. A big-hearted, big guy. I don't know if I have. But he spent hours and hours and hours after his presentation was done personally ministering to people. And you know the sad thing is? He has to do that. That's sad. That the average person, number one, can't handle demonology on their own. Not trained to. And number two, the churches, the pastors don't have the ability to do that. They don't even know what you're talking about. Start talking about casting out spirits and demon possession and demon oppression. They don't even know what you're talking about. No, they're and I continue to be amazed that we had this great event and pastors don't come. I'm letting that sink in. We have Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays here talking about demonology and the spiritual realm and what's going on, and the pastors aren't curious enough to come. They're not curious enough to come. Gee, what if I had to go down there and learn a little bit about that? Well, there aren't any demon-possessed people in my congregation. There aren't any. There's no spiritual oppression in my congregation. Really? Really? No, you may be right, Pastor. There may not be any demon possession in your church. But brother, it's right outside your door. And everybody in your church is dealing with it every day face to face. They don't even know what it is. The pastors couldn't care less. They couldn't care less. Because it doesn't fit their agenda, see. It doesn't fit their agenda. We don't do that at our church. We don't talk about that at our church. We just preach the gospel, brother. Really? What's the gospel there, chief? What is it? Huh? That I'm a sinner, need a savior? Jesus died on the cross, took my sins on that cross, died, buried, was resurrected the third day, he rose, now lives and rules and reigns in heaven forever. That's the gospel. I got that. I understand that. You go just sit on that message? You're going to preach that thing every Sunday? No, you're not going to preach that every Sunday. You're going to preach now how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Like Poor Richard's Almanac. Teach your people how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. When you look out around you, everywhere you look, the world's on fire, the culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. But you can't pass the salt because you don't have an interest in it. You don't have an interest in understanding things beyond what you've been taught in cemetery or wherever it was that you learned it. You're not interested in it. I'm trying not to be mean. I'm feeling mean this morning. I feel good, but I feel mean. Can I tell you why I feel good? Here's something I saw. I know this now. Did some research and stuff I'm going to try to share with you today. There is a church outside the church. Let there be no doubt about it. There is a church outside the church. I got some evidence to show you today. But I want to stop because I got to tell you something. Michael drove all the way up from Savannah. I didn't ask him to. I didn't really expect him to. Josh drove all the way from Texas. He drove all the way from Texas. Sarge came all the way from Maine. I didn't ask him to. OJ drove all the way from Western Kentucky. I'm talking about guys in our Salt and Light Brigade. I'm talking about guys. Oh, now I know I'm going to forget others. I know Gary came from Mount Vernon, and I know Jim and Gwen came up from down the Gallup Police. I mean, there are others, but I was amazed at how many people in the Salt and Light Brigade came. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty if you didn't come, okay? Please don't take it that way. That's not what I meant. But the idea that this thing that we call the church is a gathering of people outside the church. It's a gathering of saints outside a building, I'm telling you. And they came, why? Because they were drawn to fellowship. I saw that over and over and over on Saturday. The people were drawn to come to hear L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar. Because more than anything, they're alone. They're rejected in local churches. They have very few people that they can talk to who understand. And when we would go to break, it was amazing to sit back and watch the fellowship that would take on. People did not want to leave the break. They didn't want to come back and hear the next session because they were having fellowship. They were having fellowship. It grieves me in a way. That we as in the church, the body of Christ, have degenerated into just what church has become. So I salute all those guys. Roger paid for the porta potties. I told Roger, texted Roger last night, I said, that's the one thing everybody used, Roger. So we thank you that you provided that for us, and Pastor Tom for letting us use the facility. And we're going to do it again. It was out of this world. And yes, we went to the mounds, and he took us to Mound Builders Park in Newark, Ohio. And we saw those things, and LA gave us an explanation of what had happened there. And it was awesome. There were other guys there's a church outside the church. We'll say it again. I'm going to get closer. I want to encourage you. There's a church outside the church. All's not lost, okay? All's not lost. Hey, and one of the things that, yes, Roger.
Well, I was just going to share with you in the class that I teach on Sunday, we went to Genesis 6.
Mm.
Told them everything about the giants. And they were just fascinated. I don't know that much, but I told them everything I knew.
You know, Roger, it will, folks, listen, it'll make Christianity exciting again. See, people are dropping out of church because church is boring. But when you get a greater understanding of the cosmos and what's going on, are you kidding me? I eat, drink, breathe this stuff. I love this stuff because it builds my faith more and more and more. No pastors come. Pastor Tom came. The pastors don't come. Can somebody explain it to me? I'm asking you out there right now. Can somebody tell me why they don't come? I bet you these pastors go to seminars on how to build a bigger church. I bet they pay and fly across the country. Go. Have seminars on how to build a bigger church and how to be more, user friendly or seeker friendly. I bet they go to seminars all the time because they want to build a church. See, they don't want to build people. They don't want to build a kingdom. They want to build their kingdom. Hey, Coach, you're being awful harsh. You're daggone right. How can these two guys, how can Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays come in to talk about spiritual issues when our schools are burdened with demonically possessed or influenced little kids? When the church is losing the young people, we see these cupcakes in colleges. We see people stand at the University of Notre Dame. We see these people stand up and walk out on Governor Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, at his graduation speech. And understand we are losing society and losing the culture. Wouldn't you think? I don't know. Maybe it's the old football coach in me. But you know, when they run the ball off tackle on us, I make adjustments. And they may beat us, but they ain't going to beat us running off tackle because I'm going to put everything we can to stop it. And I can't sit back and say, well, this is just our system. It's the way we've always done it. Because the object is to win. See, Christians don't think the object of Christians isn't to win. It isn't to win. I play to win. You say, wow, Coach, we win in the end. Yeah, dummy. I want to win now. I want to push back the forces of darkness now. Right now, I want to do that, right? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, does that include stopping abortion? Does that include overturning gay marriage? Does that include cutting down on fornication? Does that include that? Does that include, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Does that mean cleaning up the culture, the debauchery in the movies? Does it mean the witchcraft? Does it mean that or not? When he said, occupy until I return, what does that mean? What does that mean? I want to cuss so bad. Sit on your butt in your church and padded pew, Sunday after suit and pat cake and praise the Lord and go home. And is that what it means? Is that really what it's all about? Is that what we're supposed to do? Hey, boys, it ain't working. Turn to John 8, Jared. Anybody want to jump in here yet before I get going here? But I'm loaded for bear here this morning. Loaded for bear. Nobody? Timid souls. Ray's in there. Good to see you, Ray. Ray's dumped in there. Hey, listen. Boys and girls, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me clearly. I'm doubling down. I'm doubling down. I'm going to get more radical. More radical. Okay? You understand me? Because this pussyfoot we're playing, that, first of all, that ain't manly. And secondly, that ain't Christian. What we see, the failure of the church. Are you ready for this? The failure of the American church is this. There aren't any butt-kicking, gospel-loving men. The compliant wussies going to church. Say, Coach, those are harsh words. Those, my husband's not a wussy. Well, he isn't. Then why does he let all this crap go on? Why is he afraid to open up his mouth and speak? Why is he not more bold for the gospel of Jesus? Why? Because some compliant pastor told him that's the way he's supposed to behave. And boys and girls, how is that working out for us? Roger, I'm loaded for bear this morning. May seem to you like I'm all over the place, but I'm not. Let's go to John 8 real quick, okay? Let's go to John 8, because here's what it comes down to me. I went out there yesterday. I was with L.A. Marzulli and about, I don't know, 70 of us, pouring down rain. We went to the Circle Mounds there in Newark. And I listened to L.A. explain what took place at that Circle Mounds, and it wasn't the Hopewell Indians, okay? It wasn't the Hopewell Indians. And I stood there, and I, with all those other 70 people, I listened to L.A. explain what we were looking at. And, folks, I got to tell you something. It made sense. It made sense. Had some weird things happen while we were there. I'm not at liberty to share right now, but it made sense. And when I left there, I was more excited than when I went. You know what we don't have? I got to say this. I'm sorry if it steps on your toes. We don't have any spiritual hunger. We really don't have any desire to really know the truth. We really don't. Most of us, and most of those who are watching this show right now, you're comfortable in your faith. You're comfortable in it. Say it again. A lot of things that take us into a deeper truth, a lot of you watching the show right now, you don't really want to go there. You're comfortable where you are, comfortable in the faith that you're living. And yeah, you see some of that other stuff, but that's really not your call. On our football teams, I never had one football player say it wasn't his call to knock somebody on his butt. He came and said, Coach, that's not my calling. My calling is to help them up after they get knocked down. I play as a Christian. And no. So, well, dude, go play soccer then. Go do something else. But get out of here, will you? Huh? Get out of here. And there are a lot of you who are watching right now. You're spectators. And you're comfortable in your faith. And my job, according to Hebrews, is to provoke you to love and good works. The two go together. Provoke you to love and good works, okay? That's what I'm trying to do. And some of you, hear me, you need to develop a greater spiritual hunger. I won't say who it is, although I'm sure he wouldn't mind if he did because he was standing right there. I ran into somebody at the event this weekend. By the way, I was shocked how many people came to the event because they watched this show. I figured they were following L.A. or they were following Russ or whatever. And they brought – L.A. and Russ brought a lot of people in. But I couldn't believe how many people came just because they watched the show. They watched the show. They drove in from Minnesota. They drove in from Texas. They drove in from Boston. People who watched the show. It blew me away. You know why they came? Because they're hungry. They're hungry. We're having an impact. I'm trying to make you hungry. I'm trying to make you come out of your shell. I'm trying to get you to grow some hair on your chest. I'm trying to get you to understand the times in which we live and know what it is that we need to do. The men of Issachar understood the times in which they lived and knew what it was they needed to do, not what they needed to pray about. The book of Acts, not the book of sit on your butts. The book of Acts, step out and move. I was going to tell you something. I forgot what. Oh, yeah. I was with a guy, member of the brigade, who's becoming more and more of a dear friend to me all the time. And I was talking to his wife. She came to the event with him. I said, so what do you think about what's going on here? And she just honestly looked at me and just shook her head. And she says, Coach, I don't know what's happened to my husband. I said, what do you mean? Oh, my goodness, Coach. Everyone in our family wonders what happened to my husband since he started watching the show. He went from being just a passive, sit on the couch, keep his mouth shut guy, to now you can't shut his mouth. He's constantly talking about the Lord. I said, well, isn't that a good thing? And she wanted to say yes, but she was scared. Think about that a minute. Scared that her husband is becoming a more bold Christian. Is that something? Isn't that the goal, guys? Isn't that what it is? I'm in John 8. And I'm just opening it up. I haven't really checked where I'm supposed to read, but I know this is where the Lord sent me. So I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go to verse 22 in John 8. I don't know why. Okay. As we read this, I think our eyes are going to open up to it. John 8, starting 20, start right there in 20, Jared. Jim Kraft, I'll get back to it here, Jimmy. Thanks, man. Jim and Gwen came and they helped us. And, boys, we're building something. Jim says, and Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, what he and those who are true ministers of the gospel do and endure for the sake of Jesus and the kingdom of God. In particular, in verses 8 through 9, he speaks to the church outside the church. I'll get to that in a second, Jim. Good word. Okay, verse 20. These weeds, verse 19. Then said he unto them, where is thy father? Jesus answered, I'm sorry. They said to Jesus, where's your father? Jesus said, you neither know me nor my father. Because if you had known me, you should have known my father also. He's speaking to the Jewish leaders. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Talking to the Jews. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whether I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, hey, dudes, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Psst, boys and girls, there must be another world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Pretty loving there, ain't Roger? Pretty loving guy right there. Then said they unto him, well, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, I'm the same, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he. And I do nothing of myself, but as I see my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Do you do that? Do you always do those things that please him? And he spake these words. Many believed on him. And then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed not on him, if you continue in my word, I understood not that he spoke, then you are my disciples. Wow. And you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, will make you free. A lot of people in bondage. You know why they're in bondage? They don't know the truth. Truth is a person. They have an image maybe of who he is, but they don't know him. They don't really know him. And there are people in this queue that are watching right now that you need to understand this, that greater power inside of you, you can do anything with that dude, man. Anything. You've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but not you. Christ lives within you. How do you kill dead men? If you've already died, how do they kill dead men? What can they do to you? What can they do to you? Where can you go that Jesus will not be? Jesus said in Matthew 28, I'll be with you always. Matthew 28. See if he doesn't say that, Jared. And we got to come back to what Jim said, because Jim doesn't ever tell me something that ain't good. So we're going to get that up there. Well, yeah, hang on, Rod, just a second. The last verse of Matthew 28. 19, the great commandment is go. And go, there's a great commandment. Go, therefore, there's a commission, and teach. There's your commandment and your commission. Go and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Hey, boys, I'm with you right to the very end. I'll be right there with you. You cannot go anywhere that Jesus is not with you. Nowhere. So since we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside of us, why don't we go to the dangerous places? Huh? Let's go do that. Yeah, Raj.
Well, in John 8:11, again, you know, we're so hesitant to call out sin. But, you know, in 11, Jesus says to the adulterous woman, then neither do I condemn you. And then he says, go now and leave your life of sin. He didn't say, go now and kind of, we need you to work through this a little bit. And we love you a lot. And God loves you. No, he said, stop sinning.
Stop sinning.
Proclaimed. Stop sinning. You're in sin and stop it.
Yeah, he didn't say go pray this prayer and you'll get a good new job and you'll get a raise at your job and your finances will all be taken care of. He didn't say that. He said, stop. Hey, dude, stop it, will you? You stop acting like that? Because, hey, the way you behave reflects on your daddy. All right? Hey, can I tell you this? Hey, Ray, I'm going to tell you this. I got a lot of religious folk peed off at me. You know what I'm talking about? The big religion, they're ticked off at me, man. First of all, they say, well, who are you? Well, I'm a child of God filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. That's who I am. Better question is, dude, who are you? Who are you? Acting like a Christian, are you? Acting like one? There's your problem. There's your one problem. Hey, Jim said to pull up 2 Corinthians 6. Pull that up there real quick. Because my buddy Jim, he wouldn't send it to me if it wasn't worthy. 2 Corinthians 6, and he says 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10. Giving no offense in anything, let's start at number one. We then, as workers together, with him, beseech ye also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. O Lord. For he saith, I've heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving thyself as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of the righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet rejoicing, always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. Oh man, oh man. So if I just read that, Jim, serving the Lord, it's full of minefields. Yep, full of minefields. And nobody wants to come and get their feet dirty. I'm putting a call out right now. I wasn't going to do this. I'm going to do it right now. Hear me. We're working on a boot camp. I should know that date. The 18th and 19th of June coming up. Let me bear with me a second. I'm sorry. I got to get a calendar in front of me here. We're having one here in Columbus, Ohio. I know the enemy's listening. That's why I kind of hesitated there for a minute, because I know the enemy's listening. There it is. The 16th and 17th of June. The 17th of June, the largest sodomite parade in America is held here in Columbus, Ohio. And we're going to do a boot camp on Friday the 16th, and we're going to go lift up the name of Jesus the next day. And I want those of you who are watching, I want you to come. I want you to come, okay? We're going to get it up on our webpage here soon, the details. But we are going to take you on the 16th, and we're going to train you in what you're going to see and how we're supposed to react. And then on the 17th, we're going to go look at the face of sin. We're going to go look. We're going to face evil. And we want you to come and come with us, because I promise you, your life will never be the same. 16th and 17th. Is that right, I got? 16th and 17th. We're going to get it up. I'm going to find a place for us to stay. It's going to be inexpensive. You just got to get your way to Columbus, Ohio. Excuse me. So I'm giving you a fair warning right now. If you're going to fly, get your flights before the flights go up. 16th and 17th here in Columbus, Ohio. We hope to have 50 people come and join us. Amen. Doing okay out there, boys? Doing okay out there? You say, well, coach, we have obligations on that week. I understand. Okay, I understand. But I bet you if I told you you could get $1 million if you came, you'd find a way to get out of that obligation, wouldn't you? Hey, dude, you ain't got long on this earth. You're going to stand before Almighty God, and you're going to give an account for the things that you did and the things that you didn't do. And I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just telling you the truth. And the truth that I'm telling you, it's going to set you free. Okay, let's get to some stuff here. Let's get to some stuff here. You know what our problem is, boys? We're ashamed of the gospel. We're afraid to speak up. Jared, go to my Facebook page. We're afraid to speak up. Say it again. Christian men got a sock in their mouth. Christian men got a sock in their mouth. But one of the good things I say happened is people left the event this weekend. A lot of them left wearing Truth Sounds Like Hate t-shirts. You say, well, coach, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's a public witness. That's what it is. You mean to tell me you're a Christian and you're going to cower and you're not going to wear that shirt because it might offend somebody? I got a lot of hats. A lot of people got hats this weekend. I said, dude, you want to talk about something? Right there is a dividing line. Put that sucker on your head. I don't care where you go. You divide people. They're either for you or against you. It happens very, very quickly. And then you find out those who are for you, they get divided even more when you start speaking about what it says on the front, that the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. And then you get on the back of the shirt and says, Jesus is the judge, right? Abortion is murder. Homosexuality is sin. Evolution is a delusion. Goes right down through it. You got some boldness about you. How long are we going to continue to keep our mouths shut as all this stuff's going on? Where are the men? Oh, you'll fight over the Bengals and the Browns and the Cavaliers. I came across this. Going down the next one, Jared. I don't know this guy. I saw this morning. It's entitled, this is why I always say what I think. Hey, dudes out there. Time we said what we think. It's like I heard somebody the other day say, oh, I wish Donald Trump would act presidential. But I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't. I hope he raises some hell. That's what I hope. I hope he's a leader, not a president presiding. I hope he's storming the gates of hell. I hope he's rattling the gates, the bars of hell. I don't want him acting like a president. Facade, fake. Why are we so much that way? Why are we so sissified? Why are we so afraid to speak up? Why are so, boys and girls, the only one who is going to defeat evil is good. That's the only one. If you think by keeping your mouth shut, evil is going to be silenced, dude, you are deceived. And if we don't go to the homo parade, who will? Well, say, Coach, we're supposed to share the gospel. Well, come on, man. 60,000 profoundly lost people standing down there, Broad and High Street, half naked. Come on, baby. Oh, no, I'm not called to do that. Yeah, you hat. You hat those women wear. That's what you are. I think about this now. This came to me yesterday. Think how big your community is. Think how big the city you live in is. How many people you think are going to church in the community in which you live in? 30%? That'd be high. 20%? And yet, how many of them people say they are Christians? 70%? Disconnect here somewhere, boys? So those 76% say that they're Christians. They're fence riders. They're riding on the fence, see? You know what I want to do? I want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and knock them off the fence. I want them on one side or on the other, okay? And we're going to get what we got as long as we continue to keep our mouths shut. This is from Jordan Peterson. I don't know Jordan Peterson. Maybe somebody out there a lot smarter than me does. But I came across this morning and I said, bingo, baby, bingo. Jordan Peterson, say what you think. He says, here is why I always say what I think. You watch this show? Hey, baby, I say what I think. Like it or lump it. Turn a different channel. I say what I think, and I don't give a damn what the God haters think. I represent my Lord and Savior. I'm going to speak the truth regardless of the consequences. And it's not a popularity contest. I'm not trying to win people to my team. I'm not trying to be some type of cult leader. I'm speaking the daggone truth. You know what's happening? Some of you sitting out there in ether land, you're saying, yes, yeah, about time. But we need more of them. Go ahead and play this. Why I always say what
one
I think.
Way
Jordan
of conceptualizing
Peterson.
Yourself is that you're one speck of dust among 7 billion. And when you conceptualize yourself that way, you might think, well, what difference does it make what I say or do? And that's actually quite convenient for you, because if it doesn't matter what you say or do, then you don't have any responsibility and you can do whatever you want. The price you pay for that is a bit of nihilism, but if you don't have to shoulder any responsibility, that's a small price to pay. That's the underground motivation for nihilism. But the other way of looking at it, and this is actually the accurate way of looking at it, is that you're in a network. You're a node in a network. And so you can do a little bit of arithmetic very rapidly and just figure out how powerful you are. You know 1,000 people. You're going to know more than that over the course of your life, but let's say 1,000 for the sake of argument for now. They know 1,000 people. That means that you're one person away from 1 million people and two persons away from 1 billion people. And you're the center of that network. And now the way networks work is that information propagates in a networked manner. So don't underestimate the power of your speech. Now, you know, Western culture is phallogocentric, let's say it. Okay, so we'll say, yeah, that's just fine. That's exactly what it is. It's predicated on the idea of the logos, that the logos is the sacred element of Western culture. And what does that mean? It means that your capacity for speech is divine. It's the thing that generates order from chaos and then sometimes turns pathological order into chaos when it has to. Don't underestimate the power of truth. There's nothing more powerful. Now, in order to speak what you might regard as the truth, you have to let go of the outcome. You have to think, all right, I'm going to say what I think. Stupid as I am, biased as I am, ignorant as I am, I'm going to state what I think as clearly as I can, and I'm going to live with the consequences no matter what they are. Now, the reason you think that, that's an element of faith. The idea is that nothing brings a better world into being than the stated truth. Now, you might have to pay a price for that, but that's fine. You're going to pay a price for every bloody thing you do and everything you don't do. You don't get to choose to not pay a price. You get to choose which poison you're going to take. That's it. So if you're going to stand up for something, stand up for your truth. It'll shape you, because people will respond and object and tell you why you're a fool and a biased moron and why you're ignorant. And then if you listen to them, you'll be just that much less like that the next time you say something. And if you do that for 5 years, you'll be so damn tough and articulate and able to communicate and
withstand
pressure that you won't even recognize yourself. And then you'll be a force to contend with. And you don't get to wait until... Because I get letters like Gad Saad gets all the time, too, from faculty members in particular. And they say, well, you know, when I get tenure, it's like, then they think, well, when I'm an associate professor. And then they think, well, when I'm a full professor. It's like, if you're a professor already, you're like the most protected person in the history of the planet. You know, and you need, well, okay, but what one of the things that indicates is that it's almost impossible to provide people with enough protection so that they feel safe to speak. Okay, so we'll address that directly. It is not safe to speak, and it never will be. But the thing you got to keep in mind is that it's even less safe not to speak, right? It's a balance of risks. It's like you want to pay the price for being who you are and stating your mode of being in the world, or do you want to pay the price for being a bloody serf, one that's enslaved him or herself? Well, that's a major price, man. That thing unfolds over decades, and you'll just be a miserable worm at the end of about 20 years of that, right? No self-respect, no power, no ability to voice your opinions, nothing left but resentment because everyone's against you, because, of course, you've never stood up for yourself. It's like, say what you think carefully. Pay attention to your words. The price is, it's a price you want to pay if you are willing to believe that truth is the cornerstone of society. And in the most real sense, if you're willing to take that leap, then tell the truth and see what happens. And nothing better could possibly happen to you. There'll be ups and downs, and there'll be pushback, and there'll be controversy and all of that, but it doesn't matter. The truth is what makes the world, the truth is what redeems the world from hell, and that's the truth. And we saw plenty of hell over the last 100 years, you know, and we haven't learned a bloody thing from it. It's like, wake up, tell the truth, or at least don't lie, if that's a start. And you got to understand that's a risk. But I have one more brief thing to say about that. So, you know, I said what I had to say back in September, and I'm sure that I could have done it better, and many people have told me how I could have done it better, although it didn't mean they would actually do it, but... And, you know, my job was at risk, serious risk, for about 2 months, and it destabilized my family, who've been very brave about this. So, like, thumbs up to them, man. They've just stood by me. But here's the optimistic news, is the university has left me alone completely. I shook hands with the dean 2 weeks ago. We're on friendly terms. They don't want this to go any farther than it has already. The students were tremendously welcoming when I came back to teach in January. I haven't had a single negative incident at the university. And I've received thousands of letters from people all over the world, all of which have been in support. I've received 2 negative letters. That's it. 2. So the people have an inchoate longing to have the sort of thing that we're talking about articulated. And so don't be thinking you're alone. It's just that people can't talk, they're afraid to talk, or they don't know what to say. And those are real problems. So if you're reasonably articulate, like, start talking and sharpen yourself.
Yes!
I mean, the enemy is a cloud. They're a cloud of gnats. They're only courageous in groups. They're only courageous in mobs. If you stand your ground and don't apologize and articulate things properly, they'll disperse around you like they're not even there. So most of it's illusion. So don't be afraid, but be afraid of the right thing. And the right thing you should be afraid of is not saying what you say, because that's the same as not being. And here you are, suffering away. You might as well be at the same time. At least then there's something to you.
I'm going down with my mouth flopping. You understand? We put ourselves in prison. I want to tell you about my life. Hang on just a second, because then I'm going to open up the queue here. I'm going to tell you about my life. I've come to this realization. I'm Pigpen. You guys remember Pigpen and Charlie Brown? Remember everywhere he went, stuff was falling off of him? Everywhere he went? I'm Pigpen that spins. And here's what I find out happens. Everywhere I go, the more I spin, people are thrown away from me. Pew, pew, pew. They're flying away from me. Pew. More truth I speak, pew, off they go. But you know what else has happened? Others are attaching to me. Pew. And you know what I want? I don't want those dusty dudes. I don't want those dusty dudes around me. Because I know this by the Spirit of the Lord, that there are thousands, multiplied thousands out there who are looking for something to do, to stand up and be heard, to speak and to be heard. So the first thing that you have to get over is the fear of what others think about you. Who the heck cares? Do they care what I think about them? Here's what I know. When I'm dealing with somebody and I'm getting criticism from them or whatever it might be, or as he said, those moths, those bugs, those gnats, I ask myself this. Is that guy going to cry at my funeral? Some dude up yipping in my ears and trying to say whatever he wants to say. I'm thinking, is he going to die? Is he going to cry when I die? And if the answer is no, I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm not going to shut my mouth because I'm worried about what this dude says. Somebody jump in here. Speak or ever hold your peace.
Coach, yeah, the thing is that everybody has to realize that the power was already in them. When they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Spirit of the living God comes in and comes alive. And we have to see that the potential is already in us to use. And we're not encouraged to use what we have from the Spirit, because that's where everything is. It's in our spirit, and we've just got to, all you got to do is open your mouth. I guarantee you, this is what happens when you pull your people together. When you get a group of people, like when you go to this thing in Columbus, you pull them there and they don't have to say a word really, but they're standing there and hear one or two of you say something that gives them the spark to do it themselves. It's getting to see that it's inside of me. I've got it. I've just got to use it. And if I can stand with 50 others, and just stand there, I begin to see the potential I have. And that's what we have to see. We outnumber them.
I'm trying to please the Lord. I'm not trying to please people. You understand that? That's so liberating, folks. That is so liberating to realize that you're representing Christ. You're speaking on behalf of Christ. You're not trying to win friends and influence people. And I will not shut my mouth for fear of what somebody else thinks. Somebody jump in here. Ray?
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, yes, we can, Ray.
Oh, awesome. Got my mic working. No, I totally agree with what you're saying here. We need leaders today. We need people who are willing to step out, because there are so many people that want to step out, but they're afraid. And it's because so many Christians have been browbeat to death and just pushed down and the thumb is on them and everything, that Christians now are just afraid to say anything. So it's
why is that, Ray?
I have no idea. Just again, the liberal left and the enemy has done a very good job of pushing Christians down to the point where, you know, hey, you're irrelevant. You're we don't need to listen to you. We don't need to hear what you're saying. You're a bunch of
you're hateful. You're hateful. You're bigoted. You're judgmental. Yeah. Hey, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I hate sin. Yep. Yeah, I am judgmental of sin. Yeah, I am. But why do we run from that?
When people like us stand up and speak the truth, all of a sudden people become emboldened and start standing up for the Lord. What's happened over the ages is that people have forgotten how to be bold for the Lord.
Amen, Bray. I made this vow to myself, as much as is humanly possible, I'm never going to come home at night and say, daggone, I wish I'd said something. Never, ever again am I going to let that happen to me. To have left a meeting and said, you know, I wish I had said something, or I wish I had done something. Never again. Never again am I going home with that regret. I'm going to speak it. And as Jordan said, you're going to let the chips fall wherever they may, man. Because, listen, we're responsible for the truth. We're not responsible for the reaction. George, jump in here, man. Didn't jump in here, George. Did you hear me? Somebody jump in here. We're running out of time. Reese, my granddaughter came, got down here on my lap. Always cheers me up. She stayed with us last night.
That's one of the weaknesses of Christians. We're always worried about what other people think.
That's right.
Or feel.
Not about the Lord thinks.
Or what's being said. And the thing is you're worried. Not responsible. When you speak the gospel, you're not responsible for their reaction. They're responsible for it.
That's it, brother. And to deny the Lord. We're not to deny the Lord. Well, the Lord is the truth, right? Jesus is the truth. So when you see, when you're in the midst of falsehood and you don't speak, you're denying the truth. Yeah, George.
Coach, you know that, and I think organized Christianity has done a lot to convince people that they should only stay in certain, they should stay in certain parameters and not go outside those parameters. And, you know, because if you hit any topic that's controversial, then organized Christianity today makes you feel guilty, like you shouldn't be addressing things.
Big church, big religion, deep state religion, George. We've been programmed to go along, to get along. We've been so programmed. We love you, sweetheart. Listen, oh, the Lord's so good to me. We've been programmed to lead people to Jesus without leading them to the truth. See, you cannot come to Jesus apart from the truth. Jesus is the truth. Folks, never apologize for speaking the truth. Now, you may have to apologize for the way you spoke it, but never apologize for the truth. Yeah, Raj?
And the truth, ultimately, for all of us, is telling people that you are sinning. You know, that's part of the truth.
That's right.
You're bringing them back to God's word. So when we tell them the truth, it's not just the truth that the Bible's true and Moses parted the Red Sea and all that. The truth is, there is a right way to live and a wrong way. You are sinning.
Amen. Amen.
That's the truth. And it is that discussion, that is that calling out that flows through the Bible. And we just touched on it in the adulterous woman. Jesus eventually said, stop sinning and go home.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
You guys have it? Just a second, Jared. You have any idea how many friends I've lost? you have any idea how many friends I've gained? Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, just to follow up with Roger, too, it's even more than that. It's not you are sinning. It's you are utterly depraved, and you don't even know how much. And the only way out of it is through Christ. It's unbelievable. You know, like, the evil in men's hearts is unfathomable. I've seen glimpses of what I would be capable of, and I know it is I could do unspeakable things. I know that I could. I know that I'm capable of it. You know, Rich, he talks about it too. He's a serial killer, but the Holy Spirit holds him back. You know, like, it's this, we are capable of unspeakable things, and the only thing that can hold it back is Jesus Christ. That's it,
brother.
That's it. Like
the truth. So let me throw this up here. It's only a minute long, Jared. Throw that Brill Cream up there, because this is us. This is modern day America, huh? Brill Cream. You guys remember that? Brill Cream. A little dab will do you. Christian America wants a little Brill Cream. We want just a little dab. That's all we want. Just a little dab. That's all. Just give me a little bit. Make me feel better. Make my hair look good so the women like me. Just give me a little dab of it. Go ahead and play this, Jared. It's a minute.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, again, we must warn you, caution you, plead with you to use only a little dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean. Disturbingly healthy. This impetuous fellow used two dabs. Now he's in trouble.
He got real religious.
We warned him that Brill Cream has a most extraordinary effect on women. They simply can't resist you. So once again, as a public service, we'd like to caution all serious men to use just a little dab. Brill Cream, Brill Cream, Brill Cream, Brill Cream.
use more, only if you dare. But watch out, the gals will all pursue ya.
They love to run their fingers in your hair. Little dab of Jesus, little dab of religion. That's what we got, just a little dab. You put too much of that religion on, man, oh, man, oh, man. That's it. Isn't that it, boys? Isn't that it? Little dab of do you. Little dab of do you. How much time I got here? Oh, I'm about out. Okay, I gotta finish with one two-minute video. Jared, go back to my Facebook page. Hey. Hey, listen, I don't care if you like me. Turn it off. Don't watch it. I don't care. Go watch somebody else. Go sit in your dead church and listen to your overweight pastor. I don't care. Go do that. You have to tune in here. Don't tune in here and try to tell me what I can and can't say. Here's this girl. I don't even know who she was, but I came across this today. And I thought this is, yeah, yeah. Turn her on here. Go ahead, Jared.
And free speech is dangerous. Now, where are these ridiculous assertions coming from? Where are people learning this stuff? Is it North Korea? Is it communist China? Is it Syria? No, it's American colleges. Isn't college supposed to be a place for kids to go and learn to think for themselves? Isn't the privilege of getting to go to college something that they should be thankful for? Isn't free speech the bedrock of a good education? Apparently not. Since when did college become a place for parents to ship their kids off to be indoctrinated and brainwashed? Since when did professors stop teaching critical thinking and mental fortitude? Since when did it become more important to protect people from getting their feelings hurt than preparing them for real life? Because here's the deal, college students. There are no safe spaces in real life. There is no room in the real world for perpetually hurt feelings. You do realize that men and women who are younger than you have fought and bled and died for your right to complain, and you want to tell me that you were offended by the American flag and threatened by free speech? Are you serious? Come on. You can't be serious. Colleges are becoming factories for whiny children instead of equipped adults. And do you know why? Because when you tell someone that they're entitled, they begin demanding the things that they think they deserve. So instead of becoming self-reliant, they rely on other entities to give them things. Entities like the government. Do you know how people expect the government to give them things? Vote Democrat. They vote Democrat. These universities know exactly what they're doing. They're coddling students into buying into the culture of political correctness, safe spaces, and entitlement in order to secure their lifelong vote. So college students, I beg of you, you either need to wake up or be the one to wake other people up. The future and perpetuation of our democracy literally depends on it. My name is Allie, and I'm the conservative millennial. For more posts like this...
Okay, get her off of there then. Because see, listen, she's not just speaking to college students. See, college is just microcosm of the church. The church that people go to church because they want to be blessed. They want something that they want to be a benefactor. They want to get something out of it. They want to have a Christianity. They want to have a savior that requires nothing of them. Nothing at all required other than, oh, praise and worship on Sunday. And when you do praise and worship on Sunday at church, oh, you feel so much better. It ain't about you. Crucified with Christ. Hey, no wonder they hate me. And no wonder they love me. Couple minutes. Anybody? Anybody? Coach, quit telling it like it is. Quit telling it like it. I'm looking here, looking at all of you down there. I'm just giving you the truth. I didn't get anywhere to where I wanted to get today. Tell you that. Come on, guys. June 16th and 17th. Book your flight right now. Get your butt up here to Columbus, Ohio. I don't even know where we're going to, I don't even have the details done with it yet. It's on the calendar. We're going to do it. If we have to camp out in my backyard, we're going to do it. You get up here. It'll be a life-changing event for you. Jim just popped something. Go ahead, somebody. We got a minute left. Somebody wants to say something. No?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Yeah, Coach. Man, Coach, you know what? This is what you're talking about is ironing, sharpening iron. And you know, all of us men, we have to stay around the men like you and like the men on this huddle because, you know what? It's so easy to get complacent and to become not bold. But, you know, when you stay around bold men, And hopefully this is encouragement to everyone out there, that that's really where your life changes, where that boldness will start rubbing off, and you'll be changed, you'll be transformed, and do more of the work of Christ.
George, I had the opportunity to speak on Saturday. I only spoke about 30 minutes. But you know when I, you know the boldness that comes out of me when I speak. And you know what, brother? It was like a daggone magnet. I had guys. That's what they want to be. They want to be bold. They want to be bold. Mamby-pamby gospel, mamby-pamby Christianity, it's going around. Men want to be bold. They just want to know it's all right. Thanks for joining us. June 16th and 17th. Mark it on your calendar. Get your butt here. Life-changing event. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.